Hey friends, Pastor Chris here. I saw it on a bumper sticker. And I have to admit, sometimes I feel the same way. Lord, save us from your followers. Why is it that so many Christians give Jesus a bad reputation? And more importantly, how do we make sure that it isn't us? We're in 2 Corinthians 6, and we left off with Paul making a passionate appeal with one message: be reconciled to God. Jesus took your wrong so that you can be right with God. So be reconciled. Paul's not done, so let's pick up at verse 1. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." And then Paul says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Can you feel the urgency in Paul's words? Now is the time. And I agree. I don't care when or where you are listening to this. If you are separated from God, get right with God. Right now. The gospel is urgent. Have you ever missed something by just a few minutes? I missed a plane by 5 minutes once. Cost me half a day. Missed the day of salvation? And it could cost you eternity. So be saved now. And if you're the messenger, do you have the same urgency to share it? And back on the subject of the messengers, Paul gets back to the main topic. I love how Paul describes us as God's co-workers. In ministry, that is part of what we are. When we go out as ambassadors, the Holy Spirit goes with us as a co-worker. But now, here's the crux when you deliver God's message. In the eyes of the listener, the message and the messenger are one. There is an inextricable link, a knot that cannot be untied. The messenger must represent the message in word and deed, in attitude and action. Any hypocrisy and the message is called in doubt. With the gospel, that's a hefty responsibility. So what do you do? Verse 3. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. That's it, no stumbling block. In other words, nothing that trips people up as they try to walk towards Jesus. When your life doesn't match your message, you become the obstacle. You're the excuse people use to reject Christ. An ambassador has to know that their every action represents their king and his kingdom. If an ambassador is a jerk, people assume the king is a jerk. If an ambassador is disrespectful or greedy, the king is the same in their eyes. It may not be true, but that's how they'll read it. And when you represent Jesus and act like a jerk, you give love a bad name. When E. Stanley Jones asked Mahatma Gandhi why he rejected following Christ, Gandhi replied, "Oh, I don't reject Christ. I love Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike Christ." That's pretty harsh, but honest. So what do we do as Christians? The answer is not easy, but it starts in verse 4. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. That is the reality of ministry. And if you answer God's calling to ministry, you should study it well. I was reading this very passage while praying hard about a calling to the mission field some time ago. Verse 5 caught my eye. With hard work and sleepless nights. And boy, did that prove true. Paul lists hardships, then sacrifices, and also personal commitments. committed to be genuine in love and truthful in speech, even when slandered or dishonored. He was treated like an impostor, but he was true. Imagine that, pouring your blood, sweat, sacrifice, and tears into loving people for Christ, and they call you a fake. This is ministry. Poor on this earth, but making many rich in heaven. Ministry life is struggle. Sometimes you have nothing, but the truth is, you have everything. So why is ministry so hard? Because God has sent us as ambassadors of peace in hostile lands. Look at verse 11. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. The message of God can only be delivered from one open heart to another, because the message is love. Next up, the subject changes, but look close and you'll see the connection. Verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? So what does that mean? An unequal yoke means putting an ox and a donkey in the same yoke to pull a cart together. The two animals will pull at different strengths. The cart will veer off course. Both animals will be frustrated, and it can literally kill an animal. If you are a Christian, do not attempt to pull a yoke with an unbeliever. That doesn't mean a cart. It means marriage, dating, business partnership, close friendship, any relationship that yokes you together on the same path. You will be off course, frustrated, and it could kill your faith. Paul says, "What fellowship can light have with darkness?" Now, it's just fine to have friends or coworkers who aren't believers. How do you know if you are yoked together? The answer? Watch how they affect your path. Or better yet, pull hard toward Jesus and see who fights you. If there is any relationship holding you back from full speed to Jesus, that's an unequal yoke. Listen, dating an unbeliever is like getting in one car with two steering wheels and two different destinations. You will fight, and you will crash. Verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So here's the big deal. We are God's temple, his house. He lives in us. That is amazing. But if you get yoked in with bad company, they will go astray, and when they draw you into sin, you take God there with you. When they make you look bad, you make Jesus look bad. You become the hypocrite. You are the stumbling block instead of the ambassador. So, with unbelievers, you should love them, not be one of them. Verse 17. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. So Paul says, be separate. This is what we call holiness. Holy means set apart for special purpose. Holy is the way a man of pure heart looks at his bride, set apart among women, undefiled. Holy is the way God looks at us, set apart from the world. So Paul says, touch no unclean thing. He's quoting the Old Testament here, but it applies to us. Don't touch the dirty stuff. God Almighty lives among us and walks among us. Do we grasp the immensity of that truth? And as if that wasn't enough, in verse 18, God says, I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That is so stunning, I could cry. I should cry. God calls us sons and daughters. And if God is our dad, God's kids ought to live holy. If there is one thing that I see missing among Christians, it is holiness. Not holier-than-thou-ness, genuine, humble holiness for God. Read 2 Corinthians 6. Be reconciled to God. Be an ambassador, not a stumbling block. Be separate, be holy, and give love a good name.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word.